The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz. Click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, you missed lots of Texans talk, little NFL talk. We'll get to all the games at some point. Usually we do that right now, but we have a legendary guest joining us.
Yeah, so legendary, in fact,
yeah,
that he's now taking up live read inventory on our show.
That happens.
Well, I mean,
you guys get all the live reads, so all I'm trying to do is just get in where I fit in.
How does this happen?
He's in here playing heads-up poker online.
Well, it says you. This is just a friendly game. It's just for fake points. It's for points.
How does it happen?
See, I got him trapped with trips.
That we have the same, like, we advertise, we do reads for the same client. But you're doing reads during my show for them.
That's what I'm not sure about. That's why I asked Jong about that. I said, are there two of them in here? Because AJ was just at Texas Grill Shop.
Yeah.
He was just there.
And they just gave me copy for it today. So yeah. I go over there and I ask Andy, and I say, hey, Lance is listed with a Texas Star Grill Shop read on our show. And he's like, yeah, that's today. And I was like, oh, well... Well, do I have one? No, not today.
Your start tomorrow.
Yeah. He's,
probably.
And he's acting like he's embarrassed by the fact that your live reads are on my show, which I think he should be. I think this is nonsense.
It feels good to me.
I guess it does.
Feels right to me.
Do you get double the money when you do it on our show?
You know what? I'm going to shoot for that.
Man.
I'm going to shoot for that. We'll see what happens.
So we've been talking.
I just can't get rid of this pest.
Kind of the topic of the day has been whether or not even, I mean, the Texans are 3-3 now, but to me it feels like 1-5-1 or 1-4-1 is probably, like, if you played these games again, 1-4-1 seems more likely than 3-3. And it's almost odd that they're 3-3, but not one of these wins has brought out any confidence in me about this team.
I'm the same way. I mean, right gift wrap one for you, right? He decided, I'm either going to win or lose. It wasn't your choice. He said, I'm going to win or lose, and that's how that went down. The second one against the
Cowboys.
Cowboys? No. Yeah, the Cowboys was your second win. That was another one that was basically given to you. And then this one, you know, was basically given to you as well. I mean, it took special teams. I mean, the offense, they ran the ball well. I just thought Deshaun was just really, really off, and it looked like he was really affected by the chest injury, because he didn't want to leave the pocket. You could tell. Well, like, he was not the same guy.
Well, and I'm worried that this is starting to get mental with him, because he looked tentative, and maybe I know the injury had a little bit to do with it.
Right.
But some of the decision making, all that's the kind of stuff you make when you're worried about getting your ass kicked. And just wondering if this isn't getting in his head a little bit.
He took some big shots against Cowboys.
Yeah. Well, he took some big ones yesterday, too.
Yeah, from sacks.
Yeah.
I thought the ones against Cowboys were like, knock you out of the game, big.
He did a couple of them where he turned the corner and just got crushed.
Yeah. And yesterday was the sacks. Some of them were, Bill O'Brien kind of said this again, he's hanging on to it too long. I mean, he talked about that in the press conference. He didn't say, well, some of them have to come out quicker, guys have to run better routes. Like, he did the whole, you know, I want to make sure that I don't throw anyone directly under the bus, but I want to make sure and name everybody in here so I don't really point out Deshaun. Well, the fact is, Deshaun has had an issue with getting rid of the ball and being on time. The best he was the whole year was the first half of the Cowboy game. And since then, he has not been on time with getting rid of the ball. He's just not seeing guys before. I don't think he's making good decisions pre-snap with where he wants to go at the ball, and that's half the battle, is knowing where you want to go at the ball.
I also think there's some issues with some of the, and again, it's easy to ignore O'Brien's play calling, but why is it, and maybe you can explain this to me because, you know, you're a genius. Why is it that every time there's third and one, they're turning that into a 15-yard pass with him taking seven-step drops or rolling out or, you know, turning a short yardage play into a long yardage play, and it doesn't work any time they do it?
Well, we had this meeting at the Mensa meeting. We talked about this, me and Tom Herman and other geniuses, as you call us, Fred. That's your name for us. And we can't figure it out. We're not sure why he's turning a one-yarder into a 15-yard protract. No, I mean, in all seriousness, I think that what you're really seeing here is a complete and total lack of creativity from a standpoint of getting moving parts moving in different directions so that the defense has to respond with some confusion and some tentativeness. Instead, defense is playing downhill on you at all times. At all times, the defense is just firing in on you. They already know your tackles are weak, so they're just firing in at all times. And I think it's a big, big problem right now for the Houston Texans, is that they don't put defenses on their toes at all, especially in the red zone, especially, as you mentioned, a short yardage. And how are you going to win football games? Like, you're going to – I know how bad Jacksonville's been the last couple games, but I'm telling you right now, you don't match up well with them from a physical standpoint. And if you let them play downhill on you, it is going to be a nightmare for Deshaun Watson.
A question, though, because defensively, I think the Texans have been really good the last 2 weeks, but how much of that is they're playing a Cowboys team that struggles on the road offensively and the Bills? And now, to be fair,
it's a big part of it, I think.
To be fair, it's not like Jacksonville's offense is very good right now.
Right.
But
they're not.
So I don't know how much of it is, okay, they're fine, they've turned it around, or they've just been playing teams can't really hurt them.
I mean, it's some of both, I think. I think Jay Joe and they don't have a great receiving core at all over there in Buffalo. It's pretty bad. Benjamin couldn't get open against anybody, and Zay Jones was just overrated coming out. But I do think that Kareem Jackson's actually played much better than expected since he's moved back to corner.
Yeah, he's had a really good – he's one of the few guys on defense that you can say has been consistent even from the beginning.
You've heard his name mentioned with good thing and synonymous with good things. So I think the secondary's played a little better. And certainly JJ and Clowney and some of those guys are getting a little more pressure. I think linebackers were a lot better in yesterday's game. They're not challenged. Josh Allen's not a very good quarterback right now. Peterman does not have the arm strength to play in the NFL. I mean, it was a miss for me. I thought I loved a lot of things about him, and you could see the touch on the touchdown pass he threw, and he worked the middle of the field, made a couple nice passes, but his arm strength just isn't good enough to beat NFL defenses, especially without wide receivers that can get open. And I think that the Texans have feasted on opportunities that have been given to them, and that's part of what you have to do. But when you watch that game last night with Kansas City and New England, somebody said this on Twitter, I couldn't agree more. when I was watching that, because I'm going between the Astros and then I pause and then I switch over and watch some of the other one and I pause that and I, that way I can always get that drag. I can't watch games live, it seems like, anymore because my, you know, my attention deficit, I've got to always have something going. Right. Always got to be able to be going forward. And I don't even recognize that football. I don't recognize the football that New England was playing or that the Kansas City Chiefs were playing. I just don't recognize that brand of offensive football. And that's a big problem because the Texans are sitting there at 3-3, and I feel like they would get annihilated by the Chiefs. I mean, just annihilated by the Chiefs. And that's, you know, that's a problem, but you play in a really weak division and you don't have to apologize for that. That was supposed, this was supposed to be the division that was getting a lot stronger. And
I
now here
so
it is.
Too.
That's what it looked like.
And now it's in the conversation for worst division in the league again.
Yeah, it is.
It's them in the NFC East, and they're basically mirror images of each other.
Colts can't win. The Texans don't have red zone offense at all. And
the Titans, the Jags, you don't have offense, period.
No, period. And the Jags really should be running away from everybody. And here they are, 3-3, and the Texans have a chance to go to 4-3 and push them to 3-4.
What's to me, maybe the craziest thing about this Texans team right now is when you look at their schedule now. 3-3. I mean, you know, 3-3 doesn't seem that unbelievable. But when you look at the rest of their schedule,
The hard part's coming now.
I don't know if there is a hard
part. Oh no! Wait, that's right. It was the harder one was supposed to be earlier. It actually gets easier.
I think this is crazy, but at Jacksonville is one of their three toughest games left.
You have two of those.
Yeah. Well, at
two
one,
Jacksonville
one at
games.
Jacksonville. So at Jacksonville, at Washington, and at Philly are the toughest games left on their schedule.
Are those all the toughest?
This well, is they, at they, Jacksonville, home to Miami,
Tennessee home,
and it's at, a short week on the Dolphins on a Thursday night, so that's an advantage.
At Denver, bye week. At Washington, home to Tennessee, home to Cleveland, home to Indy. At Jets, at Eagles, home Jags.
Yeah,
there's not a good team on their schedule.
No.
The Eagles might be good. I don't know.
I feel like Denver, you know, I keep waiting for Denver to
Denver's
be better.
Their defense is so horrible. Yeah. So horrible.
What's happened? I knew they lost the secondary. I knew that would hurt. But Chubb got three sacks yesterday.
They've had two 200-yard rushers in a row against them.
Oh,
that's very difficult to do.
I knew Gurley. Who's the other one?
Isaiah Crowell week before.
Oh, that's right. Crowell got him.
When Isaiah Crowell, like, yeah, okay, Todd Gurley ran for 200 on you. That happens. Isaiah Crowell. That's bad. You're bad. So, the defense there. And Case Keenum's not good. They're a mess.
Do you even like talking about them right now, the Texans?
No.
Do you guys like talking about them?
It's frustrating.
It's not bringing me any joy. And I was at the game yesterday. It was just devoid of any energy. I'd say there was legitimately 70 to 74% of the seats were filled. I might be a little lenient there, but it just wasn't any energy. I mean, and I was waiting for the Astros. Like, it's a tough sell for me, the Texans right now, you know, getting excited about a Sunday when you have the Astros coming up, the team with all the balls, the right. team with, you know, the team that,
it's easy to cheer for.
Only two outs in the ninth, and here they are, and Bregman is just misses the ball. He missed it by about a couple of inches, an inch on the barrel of the bat, or that thing is tied up.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't give up with that. Have y'all talked at all about the pine tar issue?
No.
Tell you what, can you stick around for a second? And let's do your bill advisor, and when you come back, we'll talk about that.
Well, Texas Grill Shop, right?
No, I already did
his
mine.
Bill advisor.
I already did that.
Oh, I thought it was...
No, we moved it.
I already did it, Fred.
All right, so we don't need to take a break.
Yeah, yeah. So with these segments with Lance, I let, you know, he just go cheeks.
So we don't have to take a break?
Bill Advisor is a great company.
Because right? we know...
We don't have to take a break. We can stick with you.
Because we know Lance is always going to go over. I thought I was actually doing a good job by getting us to break close to clock.
Pretty close.
And
are y'all usually pretty good with clock?
Yeah, I mean, if we got something good going, we'll just keep going.
I'm not great with it. When he's gone, it's a clown show.
Yeah, I figure he ran the show when it came to staying relatively on schedule. You guys know that I claim that I am one of the hosts on this show. In the morning, I say it's the number one rated show with me, Fred, and AJ.
That's good.
And they get a little... You know, feisty about. I'm like,
are they mad that they're not
they
on
said,
the show?
Well, they said, well, let's take a look at the website. So I need somebody to just Photoshop my head in there so we can include that. So I can say, well, I mean, here's the thing: you guys aren't on the number one show, and as you can see right here on the website, I'm right here.
I am, yeah.
Where are you, Dell? Where are you, Raheel?
I think
I don't see you.
Going back to what we were talking about, I think the kind of bummer about the Texans is, let's say, I mean, this division being what it is, it's possible that they're a playoff team, which is crazy.
You're going to have to win the division, though.
I know. I'm just saying, with the division what it is, there's a possibility that they could be a playoff team. And in fact, if they win next week, you could argue they're in the driver's seat.
You know, it's weird, but because you do get Deontay Foreman back, it doesn't look like this week, according to Bill O'Brien at his press conference.
Deontay Foreman can't save this thing.
No, he can't. But what he can do is maybe give you some short yardage push, like a little thing like getting a yard and a half for you. You do have obviously two very good receivers and really three weapons now that QT is there. It's not going to change at tackle. It's not going to change any offensive line. That's going to stay the same. Defensively, you're okay. We can say, look, they got rolled up in the second half by Andrew Luck, and they have beat up on, you know, Dak Prescott, who's just a guy to me, and then, you know, Josh Allen, who I don't think is good. But, I mean, they're making plays when they need to make plays. They've been okay. The defense has been okay. So it's not crazy to think that.
They did let Eli run wild on them.
Well, what happens when Fournette gets, but I think to me the Jaguars are clearly the best team in the division.
They should be. They're not playing like it.
Right. I had Tennessee fans trying to argue with me because I was talking about, I just had a tweet out there about all the good young quarterbacks. This is when Pat Mahomes was doing his thing against Denver, and I said, you know, it wasn't long ago that the narrative was there's no quarterbacks in the league, and now you look around at Wentz, Goff, Mahomes, Watson, Trubisky, the way he's coming on, like the young guys, and that's not to, you know, Stafford can still play, and Ben's still there for now, and Drew Brees still looks like
Rivers still looks all right.
Phillip Rivers is the most underrated quarterback maybe in the history of the NFL, with the lack of pure athletic ability and talent that he has, and the production. He has a nothing arm. He's not mobile. He's had below average targets other than a really good tight end and then just a bunch of kind of guys at wide receiver over the years. He's had a bad offensive line, and until recently he didn't have a running game. And yet Phillip Rivers just never makes an excuse. He just goes out there and just puts points on the board. But Titans fans got, you didn't put Mariota in there. And to be fair, I was starting with the young quarterbacks after Mariota and Winston because I don't really think they're in that group.
Yeah.
But I said, look, you put Mariota in the up and coming group. Yeah. Yeah. I said, go look at Mariota's stats.
He's regressing. He's Mariota actually disappointing me.
Mariota has not been good for like 3 years.
Yeah, he's getting worse, in fact, which is really disappointing to see because I liked him coming into the league and
he's just not developed. He's not a chance taker and he hasn't developed. You're right.
And also he's not getting good coaching. And that's You see that with quarterbacks. If you don't get good coaching early, it can go the wrong way, which is what Fred was talking about earlier, the concern about Deshaun Watson, that he could easily get ruined.
Well, here's my concern with Deshaun, but not as much as with Mariota. A big part of what Mariota did at Oregon was, you know, the ball's out quickly, predetermined reads, and he ran the ball off zone read and stuff like that. In the NFL, there's not a lot of that. There's not a lot of either one of them. You're not going to be running forever. And you're not going to have a lot of predetermined reads. You got to play chess, and you're not playing checkers. And I think that move up to the chessboard has been really tough for him because everything's not predetermined, and he's not able to just take off and run all the time. And winning from the pocket has not been easy for him. And that's something that really gets underlooked in the move from college to pro for athletic quarterbacks is proving that you can win from the pocket. You know, Mike Vick couldn't win from the pocket, but he was such an unbelievably gifted athlete that he survived – a little longer until eventually he just was too erratic and too inconsistent. I think Vince got it because he was just he was not committed to the process of being a quarterback. But it's, you know, learning to Blake Bortles was a guy that ran, a lot of people don't realize that if they didn't follow college football, so he ran a lot of zone read stuff. I mean, Blake Bortles was a dual threat guy who has tried to win from the pocket, and he's had very mixed results as well. We're going to see what happens with Lamar Jackson. You know, obviously Rosen and Jameis was a drop back passer. Rosen is a pocket passer. Darnold's a pocket passer. So we don't see as much of those guys, but, I don't know, man, you just look at this division. Andrew Luck looks like he's there. Andrew Luck looks like he might be the best quarterback in the division again.
Yeah, but he has nothing around him. He's got the least around him.
Nothing. He's got T.Y. Hilton and just
Well, he hasn't had him for the last 2 weeks either.
Yeah, T.Y.'s been hurt, and then he's got a makeshift offensive line
that he's putting up big numbers with.
Yeah, it's been bad. He's been a fantasy revelation. Now they've kind of cut him loose.
But if the Texans win the division, like put them up against a wild card team, whether it's let's say it's Pittsburgh. I mean, can you imagine Pittsburgh playing Houston right now? Or Baltimore playing Houston right now?
Oh, I think Baltimore versus Houston would be like 17-6. It'd be an ugly – it's not a game you'd want to watch. I think Pittsburgh would be something like 24-17. I don't think it'd be crazy because Pittsburgh's not consistent enough. Baltimore's so tough defensively that Baltimore will smother you and make you – they'll embarrass
you.
They've
got the best defense in the league, I think.
You know, Baltimore, I never want to give them credit, it seems like, over the last few years. But their defense is really, really legit, and they are. I mean, they're Khabib on top. I mean, Khabib on top where you just can't get up against them. Yeah. Once they get up a couple scores, they're going to just smother you, and you're not going to be able to get up. You can't win once they get up a couple scores. And they're not a fun team to watch either. But John and I were talking about this. How many head coaches do y'all think are on the hot seat? Because there's been a flushing of the head coaches through the NFL. Name the guys who are actually on the hot seat.
Well,
though.
I mean, the guys that there's guys who should be like O'Brien or John Gruden, but who financially they can't be.
Right. So you can't include them. I mean, people will say you can include, because anytime you say that with O'Brien, everyone says, what if though he goes 3-13? Well, you know, we'll take a look at it, but he's won 3 in a row. And as you mentioned, AJ, it's not the hardest schedule in the world coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
So let's take those two guys out of it. I don't think Anthony Lynn with the Chargers, obviously.
Todd Bowles. Well, they got a win yesterday, too.
Dirk Cutter,
Vance
for
Joseph.
Sure.
Oh, Dirk Cutter's number one.
Vance Joseph, Dirk Cutter, Mike McCarthy with the Packers, I think. There's been some rumors that he and Rodgers don't get along great. It could be one of those things where it's just time for a new head coach type of things. But not in Chicago, not in Detroit.
Jason Garrett?
See, I would think Jason Garrett clearly lands on that list. But they just got a big win. Like, it's hard to say that right on the heels of that big win that they just had. But
I think Hugh Jackson still. I think if they end up finishing 4-12, 5-11, what are you going to do? Keep that guy around?
I think number one is going to be Vance Joseph, because there was already buzz about that after last year.
I think Dirk Cutter's number one because they just fired their DC.
Actually, yeah, you're right. Dirk Cutter, then Vance Joseph, I would say.
I think they're both gone, though.
I do, too. Yeah. Little chance either one of them survives.
Who was their DC? I can't remember.
Mike Smith.
Oh, yeah. Remember when he was the cause celebre over there with the Falcons? Yeah.
Remember all those commercials he did on the bus where he's waiting, doing his head back and forth?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
The Texans should hire him to call offensive plays, in my opinion.
Could it be worse?
No, it'd be better.
They could hire a guy off the street. And
If I were Mike Smith, I'd just take the film of what's been happening to me and say, hey, let's do this to other teams. And then you got to be good.
You guys watch a lot of college football. Do you guys see Lincoln Riley as getting phone calls after the year from NFL teams?
Yeah.
Do you think he gets a call from the Browns?
Ooh, he could.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
With Baker Mayfield, and with McVay taking off the way he has as a young coach, I wonder if he's going to be the next young guy that gets a shot.
But he's got a pretty good job there in Norman.
He does.
And I just don't know how that'll translate in the NFL. But we never know until they do it. So
everybody thinks the NFL is like that. That's the best. I mean, you can make more money being a college football coach.
So everyone
thinks
the NFL is the best, and for a long time it was financially. But now, the way college is bumped up to $5 million plus per head coaching gig.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien makes $5
million. Yeah.
Nick Saban makes twice as much as Bill O'Brien. It's not now that's, you know, an extreme, but what I'm talking about, but a college gig where you can control your personnel through recruiting and you play relatively weak, that's a weak schedule for Oklahoma relative to what you'll see in the NFL. Yeah. I mean, I honestly, my dad told me the most fun he ever had was in college, not the pros.
Yeah, I think a job at a solid college football program, if you're the head coach at that with that job, I think that's better than an NFL job.
And plus, it's easier to out-coach guys.
Yeah. I mean,
it really is.
Plus, you can renegotiate your deal every year.
Yeah.
I mean, you have all the leverage in college football. Yep. All the leverage. Yeah. When's the last time you guys remember seeing a head coach from NFL just saying, nah, you know, I'm not going to I'm not going to sign this contract, or another team hires you away and gives a you know, and has a buyout for the other NFL team.
Because these NFL guys, they're all hanging on by a thread to not get fired.
Well, that's why the extension of Bill O'Brien was so criminal. You didn't have to give him the extra year, and Bill O'Brien wasn't going to go anywhere. What? You didn't re-up him with a year to go, and he was going to get mad and leave to someone else? If Bill O'Brien coached his ass off in the fifth year, which is this year of that deal, then all you have to know is that Bill O'Brien's going to hitch his wagon to Deshaun Watson and let him pull, because that's how you stay somewhere a long time, is you get with a good quarterback. You didn't have to give him any additional years. You could have just played it out. Because right now what we'd be talking about is Bill O'Brien on hot seat.
Think about this. Lovie Smith makes $4 million a year. In the last 3 years, he's won
at Illinois
8 games.
He makes $4 million.
Yeah. So he's so far over the last 3 years, he's made $500,000 per win. And if that was if you had 8 wins over 3 seasons in the NFL, you're fired. But
oh yeah,
I mean, at Illinois, they're not looking to pay his buyout.
No.
So
they'll ride it out. They'll ride it out. I don't even know you guys anymore. I got AJ's over here. Eating lean and drinking no beer.
Yeah.
Fred's drinking a gallon of water. Where's the...
Fred actually pees in that water and then drinks it back. He's like recycling fluids all day.
Well, first I wash my hands in it.
Yeah.
But where's the bourbon?
There's November 1st.
Carbach, there's nothing.
No, we'll be back.
Other than the pub crawl this Saturday, I'm down until mid-November.
Why?
I'm losing weight.
Okay, so it's just a weight thing.
Yeah.
I'm doing it too. Okay. I've dropped about 9 pounds, but yeah, it's a little bit of a grind. I don't feel like doing the super grind, though. I should be drinking more water. That's the key.
Gallon a day, man.
That's the key.
Hey, before you go, you brought it up, and then we got off back to football, but your whole thoughts on the pine tar thing.
So somebody sent me a couple different videos, one of Kelly and one of Barnes from last night. One was Kelly was earlier in the year, Joe Kelly, Matt Barnes from the Red Sox. They clearly are going to their left arm. They grab their left arm. It's sticky, and they're using that for grip, right? Technically, that's considered illegal. I took the video, and I sent it to Trevor Bauer. I'm like, dude, have you seen this? Because, you know, Trevor Bauer famously accused the Astros of utilizing pine tar. And he answered, and then Buster Olney got in on it. My mentions are just filled with stuff. I don't even want to look at it anymore. I'm tired of it. But all I know is what it comes down to is in Major League Baseball, it's an unwritten rule. And if you read Buster Olney's article, it's pretty good. The Red Sox clearly are cheating. I mean, they clearly are, by the letter of the law, using what they say is if you put sunscreen on your arm and then some rosin, it basically turns it into glue. They're definitely doing that. You can see from the video, it's clear proof that they are doing this. However, and you may remember last year they made Charlie Morton quit going to his mouth with the gum because they said he was getting a grip stopped him from doing that, which the whole time I was thinking this can't be legal. Well, I guess in baseball circles this is considered one of those, hey, you don't tell and we don't tell, and it's just a known thing that baseball players, that's why Bauer coming out and saying that about the spin rate probably pissed off the Astros. It's almost an unwritten rule, like, dude, you know we're not supposed to talk about this. Your guys do it. We do it. But it is, you know, it's an advantage if you can spin that ball.
Yeah, I'm always skeptical of people sending me videos of stuff because I've seen too many of them doctored. I've seen too many of them on close plays that say, oh, look here, he was out of bounds. And it's like, no, that, you know, you either doctored that or you got it from some angle that makes it look that way. So I don't consider that proof.
Have you seen them?
I've seen them, yeah. I don't know if they're real or not.
That they're just doing this?
No, but I've seen the videos with the stuff on them, and it's like, okay.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm talking about videos.
Anybody can make that stuff up.
The videos where two different pitchers are going to their arm in a certain way. And look, and then somebody else said, look at Devo's hat right here. And I don't doubt.
I mean, Clayton Kershaw, his hat.
Clayton Kershaw, they said, is that he always goes to the back of his hat, and you can see a spot.
And his hat looks like
Astro that was going to his hat? Hell, I don't know if it was last series or at the end of the season they made a big deal out of it. They kept going to his hat every time.
Yeah, that's why, and everyone started commenting on this, and they tagged the Astros, Reed Ryan, MLB Network, people who work at the MLB Network. I'm interested to see if this becomes a segment where they acknowledge, guys, it happens, but because Buster Olney's whole article was, it happens, but it's we be quiet, you be quiet. Because once you start checking, then everyone gets checked.
And even hitters don't mind it, I don't think, because you know, you're not going to lose control of a 95-mile-an-hour fastball if you've got a better grip on the ball. And, you know, there's something to that.
I guess just I guess they weren't using that when Bregman was up at the plate. That's all.
He's the only one.
They've hit him a couple times.
If the Astros win that game last night, sanctioned it. Nobody's talking about any of this.
I texted David Price.
No, but I was actually really surprised. And that's probably just me being naive. But even if they did lose, I would have been like, wait, what the hell? This is just clear. Because when I saw it this morning, I thought, this is clearly cheating. And then the more you dig around, the more you realize in baseball circles, it's like, yeah, so what? It's not a big deal. It's kind of like greasing up the jerseys like they used to do back in the day in football.
You know what I think? One thing I think the Astros have done better than the Red Sox in this series is not panic when your starting pitcher struggles a little bit. And I think they did it better than the Indians did. The Indians, as soon as there was any sign of and it's funny because, you know, the Indians, the Red Sox, you wouldn't say that their strengths are the bullpen, yet they seem so willing to run to that bullpen.
Right.
Like, game one, do you think Chris Sale pitched poorly game one?
No.
I think he was inefficient.
At one point, he was like 50-50 with
balls strikes
and balls. That's pretty bad.
He was inefficient, but
he gave up a hit.
He gave up one hit in four innings. And you're just like, we got to take the ball from this guy and give it to our mediocre bullpen and let them go from. And look what happens.
Yeah.
I think even yesterday when Gerrit Cole started to kind of get beat up a little bit, they were like, listen, Gerrit Cole's been our guy all year. We're not going to just.
And he
pull
settled
this
down.
Yeah.
And he settled down.
I think A.J. Hinch should be commended because I'm watching these playoffs, and damn near every series, you see teams, their starting pitcher goes out, he struggles a little bit. It's like, hell, the Brewers pulled Gio Gonzalez after two innings when he'd given
up. It is a panic.
Nothing.
It is a real panic. I tell you what, I've always said this about him, and I mean it in the most positive way possible. A.J. Hinch is like the dad that you wish, you know, man, I'd love to have him as a dad. He'd be disappointed with you, but he'd never be mad at you. He'd always just give you the disappointed thing. AJ would be patient with you and, well, son, let's go out there and work on your driving. I know you failed the driver's test, but let's go out there and do it again. Like, AJ just doesn't get rattled, man. I can't say enough. He might be my favorite manager/coach that I've ever seen in Houston for any team, because even when I don't agree with him, he's got a resolve. He's got the players back. He doesn't freak out ever. I just think really highly of him.
Yeah, I've been impressed with him so far. Yeah.
I loved Van Gundy too, but that's just because he's, you know, he literally, basketball was going to make him live or die, one or the other.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein, the third head on our show.
Yep, third host.
Thank you for joining us
soon. There'll
again
be a new picture, hopefully, where I've got picture proof.
Yeah, and what I'm gonna do is start showing up at your show and reading commercials on your show.
You know, you can try that if you'd like. Maybe you can start talking about Texas Grill Shop.
I'd love to today, but I can't.
Would you like to right now?
No.
Would I like? Well, I can do it if you'd like.
Is he gonna do it?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
that's right. But you did see though. But you did see
I
all
saw,
the grills.
Yeah,
they're incredible.
I got my grill there.
So you got the Pits and Spits.
Yeah.
See, Pits and Spits, that's what my guy Michael over at Pete's Fine Meats told me about. Pits and Spits. He's the first one that got me on a Traeger, and I got my Traeger from Texas Grill Shop. I've been using their grills for, I guess it's eight, almost 9 years, and I didn't know how to grill. When I first, my dad never taught. He didn't know how to grill. My mom didn't. They're farm people from Kansas. They don't grill.
Right. Yankees.
And, And they taught me, you know, I learned on the wood pellet grill, and then I realized, why would anyone do, look, I know people love charcoal and, but the wood pellet grills, super, super easy to use. You set your temperature where you want it. I do briskets. I do ribs. My son's already demanded ribs on Saturday. And then, but there's something. I mean, they've got so many different grills there, from Traeger to Sabre. They've got Kamado Joe, which is the ceramic cooker. There's something for everyone. And I thought what the coolest thing was, and they just started doing that, was those Akaishi beef steaks and briskets at cost.
At cost.
That meant cost.
That's where I buy my meat. When I'm smoking meat, that's where I go.
Yeah, I don't think people realize what a deal that is. You can't get that price anywhere in the city.
Nowhere.
And they're just doing it because they want you to come in, get the meat, and check out all the grills and stuff like that. But they have seasonings, marinades, everything to clean your – you got
How didn't two you get books, it for, even?
Did you get a clean, a grill cleaner?
Yeah, I got some grill cleaner.
Yeah, that's where I get my grill cleaner from as well. If you guys want to check it out for yourself, I know AJ's going to be talking about it here a lot. I'm telling you right now, changes the game for grilling. Go to TexasGrillShop.com, located right there off of 59 at the Greenwood, or Greenbrier exit. Greenwood, no. Kirby and no Shepherd and Greenbrier exit there. It's right there on the right hand side. If you're headed 59 North, stop in, see Rick and Michelle Martin, mom and pop business. That's doing great.
There's one up on Louetta in the Champions area.
That's
too.
The other location. Yeah. If you're listening, which you guys catch us pretty good there, make sure you stop in. For more information, go to the website, TexasGrillShop.com.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
All right, let's go to our man, Aubrey Theodi, with Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. Aubrey, how's it going, man?
Hey, guys. Great afternoon. Getting ready for the holiday rush. It's just blink of an eye, but here for us. So we're prepping the fleet and getting ready to handle every job. If you've been... Think about doing carpet, tile, grout, leather drapes, upholstery, wool rugs. Why don't you pick up a phone and preempt that holiday rush? 281-DIRT-FREE. 281-347-8373. 281-DIRT-FREE is the number to call. Because you can save by calling right now at 281-DIRT-FREE. When you're one of the first 20 callers, we're doing three runs for you for $100. We're giving away a $100 free speed drive. And all the other services, a wool rug, a wrinkle, a stretch, you know, stretch that wrinkle out that's getting to you. Get the traffic areas done on your leather furniture can be taken care of on site. Pick up the phone, dial 281-DIRT-FREE. Let us come out with a $100,000 machine, no soaps, no chemical residues, no tap water, the most advanced system in the world. We'll start in the worst spot. If you don't love us, you don't pay. 281-DIRT-FREE, dirtfreecarpet.com. You've seen it yourself, guys. It's an amazing system, and we're ready to go to work right now.
All right. That's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, the ESPN, and It's a Houston Thing pub crawl Saturday. If you've been waiting to get tickets, time to quit waiting. It's the first annual Houston Sports Pub Crawl brought to you by Thrive Plus. It's going to be huge. Houstonians repping Houston sports while getting their drink on at 10 special hosting venues downtown. Tickets come with a limited edition Houston Sports Be Someone t-shirt, pub crawl wristband, cup and koozie, Thrive Plus samples, and drinks for just $3. And the cool thing is, if the Astros are playing at 4 o'clock, we're going to be able to watch the game because we're at bars. It's going to be awesome. So come on out, and I'd say there's at least a 40% chance I make a fool out of myself, and you'll get a chance to see that in public. So those opportunities are getting fewer and farther between. And get your tickets now. The price is going up every day. General and VIP tickets are available at htxpubcrawls.com, htxpubcrawls.com. So I'm looking forward to that. Dude, how much do you miss drinking? I really don't miss drinking. It's very strange. Like, that was my way of dealing with stress when I'd get home from, you know, by the time the show's over, it's like been a long ass day because I'm doing a lot of other stuff around here, and I'd get home and I'd just 5 or 6 shots of whiskey or whatever to just chill. And now I'm dealing with stress by going to the gym every day. It's like I get there and work out all my anger. So I'm doing a more healthy thing. I don't know if I'll ever go back to that now that I've kind of gone this far.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not going to stop drinking.
Right.
But I don't think I'm going to go back to being total lush. But you never know. It's one of those things. You're just trying to get healthy. 713-780-ESPN. 409 thinks Aubrey was doing the deed when he called in.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't really listening, so I don't know.
Hmm.
But 713-780-ESPN. When we come back, we've got Disco says it's a lot easier to stop drinking when you replace it with weed. Oh, I mean working out. Okay, yeah, a few nights a week I do
partake.
Yeah. Dude, since I've gone to that vape pen, I'm never going back. That is like the best period. I mean, it's just, it's smooth. It gets you where you want to get. But that's if I actually did things like that, which,
right.
You know,
but you don't.
No, because I've told the people I wasn't going to talk about that anymore.
Before we go to break, we got to do this Robbins Brothers giveaway.
Oh, yeah.
I'm leaning towards not giving out the guy's last name just in case, like, his friends are listening and then text his girlfriend or something. You think that's a good idea? Just say his first name?
Yeah. Tell us what the plan is.
Okay. The plan is, so he said, our first dating anniversary, my girlfriend got me a big map of the state of Texas as my gift. Over our 4 years of dating, our favorite beer has been Fireman's Four, which features bottle caps with Texas cities on the inside of the bottle cap. I have been saving these bottles over the past few years and glued them on all the cities that we visited while we had been dating. Since we've been described as an original Texan, there are no better places to propose than in Luckenbach, Texas. Living.
John, how do you not know Luckenbach? Come on, man. Willie and Waylon and the boys.
Listening to live Texas country music, I will have the map of Texas set up in a scenic area, and on the side of the ring box will be the bottle cap that says, "Will you marry me?" And so that will be, I'll get on one knee and open the ring box, and they'll see the ring and the bottle cap, and that matches the ones on the Texas map I created. But instead of a city, it'll say if she will marry me. Best of all, since her family is so important to us, both our family and mine, her family and mine will surprise her right after I propose in the scenic area of Luckenbach.
This has, anytime you're involving other people in your proposal, there's potential for disaster because if she says no, then it's really awkward, right?
Yeah.
But or you know if she what? Just says, maybe we're not ready for that.
If she says no, he gets $1,000 from it's Robbins true. Brothers. I'm all for it. I can't believe you don't know what Luckenbach, Texas is.
I don't know Luckenbach.
Man. Let's go to Luckenbach, Texas. Come on, man. That's like an anthem.
So
you've never been.
Jong's barely a Texan.
And I have to tell you, if you're you have to go to Luckenbach at some point. It's just one roadhouse and nothing else.
Yeah,
but you have to do it. That's like a moral imperative, right? If you're from Texas. Wow.
So, should I give out this guy's name?
Give out the first name. The reality is, she's gonna know if she's listening.
Yes.
But yeah.
The guy's name is Patrick, so congratulations, Patrick. You'll get contact.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Patrick knows even, you know, he heard his story. He knows what's going on. Hmm. Although if she heard, she probably knows about the map and stuff, and yeah, it's ruined. But hey, good luck.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's out of Luckenbach, out by Fredericksburg, John.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been to Fredericksburg.
But you didn't hit up Luckenbach?
I don't think so.
You know what? Man. I want you to listen to this song 10 times over the next 24 hours, and then you and Teresa have to plan a trip there.
You're barely a Texan.
I've taken, like, every wife there, except for this one. And she's the one that wants to go. Like, I love Willie's part at the end, though. That's just the best part. I mean, it's a good song.
You never heard this show?
No.
Dude, this is...
You're such a millennial Asian. That's all right.
Yeah. Okay, we're doing this as a public service for anyone who's lived in Texas and who doesn't know this song. If you're new and you moved here, I get it. But, yeah.
Jong's lived here his whole life.
I know. My respectometer for Jong has gone down quite a bit here because of this.
That's all right.
All right. But that's okay. He'll rally. He usually does. So that's the best part, once Willie gets involved. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Never go back to the AM dial.
Your home for sports is only on FM.
With ESPN 97.5.
And Sports Map 94.1.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Got, what's Soccer Matters tonight?
Yes, sir.
All right. Best soccer show anywhere. Not self-proclaimed, just period. I hate that self-proclaimed thing. I mean, Glenn has the best soccer talk ever. 832 says, I'm Mexican, and I know that song. And then 281 says, never heard it, but I'm black, so maybe I get a pass.
Probably so.
Yeah, that's probably fair. All right. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, I apologize. I don't know who sent me this. I got a couple emails from Zach who sent me a couple, and then somebody on Twitter sent me one. So I don't know whether it came from that or the email. So I apologize in advance. Usually I try to remember who sent it to me.
But you can't remember everything.
No.
You're just a man.
I was a little busy all day today, so it's, you know, I did this at like 6:30 this morning, so I apologize for not giving credit where credit's due. But we go to Bristol, Tennessee, which is most famous for having a NASCAR track, where police report released.
Juggalo Trey sent you this story.
No, I don't think he did, because it doesn't involve anyone named Earnhardt.
No.
But, or Elliot. I think he's a big Elliot guy now. I guess I could do it in NASCAR voice.
No, don't do that. Unless it's about NASCAR.
Boogity, boogity, boogity! No, okay. Well, it may be. This sounds like a NASCAR guy.
Okay.
No offense, NASCAR people. But basically, a Bristol man was being attacked by his father.
Okay.
The guy attacked his son with a chainsaw.
That's aggressive.
While the victim was mowing the yard. And he was found at the scene bleeding from his head and leg injuries. So
the father attacked the son? The
father attacked the son.
While he was mowing the lawn?
76-year-old Douglas Ferguson was charged with attempted second-degree murder.
If I could ever get my kid to mow the lawn, I damn sure wouldn't chase him with a chainsaw. Yeah,
and get charged with second-degree murder. Attempted second-degree murder. He's in jail. But
if murdering someone with a chainsaw is second-degree, what constitutes first-degree?
I'm not sure, but the son, defending himself, runs over the man with the lawnmower.
Okay.
And the old man lost his leg.
It happens.
Yeah.
It sucks for you, bro.
So here's what you have. You have a chainsaw dad going after son who runs over him with a lawnmower and gets his leg in the process.
Mm.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. Jeweler gem of the day.
There's a picture of the dad. Does that not look like a kind of guy come after you with a chainsaw?
Why don't they show his stump?
Well, I don't know. That's just it's his mugshot. He looks happy in the mugshot. Maybe those were better times. Like, remember when he had a leg?
Yeah, when I had two legs.
Yeah. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. When we get back, we'll go through all the NFL games because we haven't had a chance to do that yet. And hopefully we'll get some college football next hour as well because it was a really interesting weekend. But, guys, I have to tell you about your place to play poker, and that's Lions Poker Palace, and it's aptly named because it is a palace. And whatever you're into, man, they've got you covered. They've got tournaments all day long. Starting at noon, and I'm hoping to get out there Thursday if I can get my work done this week for the noon tournament. And they've got a big $60,000 tournament coming up on December 12th. The cool thing is if you go there and tell me you heard about on ESPN, you're going to get 3 hours of free play. You get points every time you play there, and you get to a certain amount of points, you get $100. And it's just a cool place. I love it. George and Najib run a fantastic room, And you're going to go there, and you're going to feel like you're in a real-life casino because it is so classy, and it's aptly named as the Poker Palace.
Yeah, 6134 Richmond Avenue is the spot. Conveniently located. Tournaments running all the time. You can follow them on Facebook, and you'll get all the information about their tournament times there. And you'll get a good look at the room and see what you're getting into. Or you can just stop by and see it for yourself. They've got security inside and out. Great food, like Fred was saying. It's just a really awesome spot. If you haven't been by, it's time to check them out. Lions Poker Palace, 6134 Richmond Avenue.
Check it.
Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.